Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the Whip 12 podcast. My name is Raymond, and I'm here with Christian and Ollie.
Hey.
Hello.
We got a three-host thing going on, so that means there's something came up. The biggest thing we're going to talk about is the new reinforcement rules, and yeah, be sure to have our hot takes on it, because it's recent as for now, so we just got to look at the profiles and the rules, and we will give our take on it. But also, there has been a lot of news, because Gen Con has launched, so Corvus Belli has been on a roll with certain things. I myself am pretty excited for Acheron Falls, the new space faring game. And I took a look at the video where they did a demo, and I've always been on the fence for like Battlefleet Gothic and the Star Wars Armada, but never dove in. But this one looks cool. They have this energy system where you have to spread it across your ship to either put it in guns or in shields, and really have the inertia of your ship flying a certain way. And if you don't give it a burst of energy, your ship is making donuts without you having control of it. So it looked really fun, and the ships look really good.
Well, I'm behind on the news, so I haven't really seen. So I will abstain from this conversation.
For me, it looked like a ship maintenance game or a ship management game. So you had the crew that you had to send to different sections of the ship to make sure they had power or man the weapons. It looked kind of interesting, and I think there were only maximum two ships on each side, so it'll be relatively easy to paint up.
Yeah, for sure. It's not that big. That's also a part of me. But yeah, like they said with Infinity, you only need 15 models. So by the end of it, I probably have all the ships, if it's any fun.
Yeah, you only need two ships. And then lo and behold, 6 months later, you have 20.
Yeah. And just pushing meeples on boards. It's how I like my board game. So I think it will also work on Acheron Falls. But that's not the only one. The Warcrow, they showed this new starter set with the orcs and the hegemony. I got back on the fence. I jumped in on the Kickstarter, but I redraw my pledge. I'm just waiting for it for what it will become. But the orcs look good, that's for sure.
The models are really well sculpted, but they don't really speak to me as much. They don't say, just buy me and paint me, as I get with some of the Infinity models, like the new Korean models that they released for reinforcements. Those are just screaming to be painted, but the Warcrow are just meh.
Yeah, I can also understand. Well, I jumped into Moonstone, so my fantasy skirmish games lot is already filled up, and so that's why I'm waiting what Warcrow will become.
Yeah, one thing that looks really cool about Warcrow is that they have alternating activations.
Yeah.
I think that looks pretty interesting from a skirmish game perspective.
Yeah, but I'm still curious what it will be, because I found out that I just don't like those dice. They were in Aristeia and they were in Defiance, and I was like, oh, those dice take me out of it. So... But maybe somehow you roll those different colored dice and you're just looking, all right, I have to find the shields and I have to find the hits. And then you're like, oh, I did nothing. So somehow numbers speak earlier to me, like, all right, I miss or hit or crit.
But they're color coded. So now you can say that, I got three blue dice, or, oh, hey, I got a blue, a red, and a yellow.
Yeah, might. I just want to see how it works out. But that's not the only thing. There's also a new graphic novel coming up. Mostly that means for me a miniature and I read a book in an hour.
Yeah, it was a continuation from the Outrage one, wasn't it? Or the from the most recent one.
Oh, the most recent one, the Outrage one. You also had the one on the with the combined army. So what's the second one? You got Kodali with it. I just remembered that you get Kodali with it.
Okay, so basically we're only excited for this because the minis come with it. I gotcha.
Yeah. And there's a nice book with the mini. That's mostly it for me.
Oh, a coloring book that comes along with the mini. All right.
Yeah, yeah, I painted both my books. That's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's mostly it for the news. I've been pretty busy with playing the Mercenary campaign, which I will happily report on in a future episode. I was looking at the reinforcements, but somehow I also play Song of Ice and Fire, and they also got an update. So I'm juggling more updates this week. So it's been pretty busy for me hobby wise. But Ollie has made an effort to play at least 5 games with reinforcements.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously that's not that many in the grand scheme of things, but I've played the game quite a few times versus a couple of different factions. I've been discussing the game with like Lobo and a couple of other people. So I think I have some idea, but you know, like having some idea isn't the same as knowing everything. So
yeah, we'll see. And that's why this is a hot take yeah. episode. Man, it's out for a week. You already did 5 games in a week. And think, Christian, what was the last time you played a game?
I'm on diaper duty. I just had my first child, so I haven't had a game in about a month and a half. But I have plenty of time to go and play with the Army app and walk around the house with a baby on my stomach thinking about how this will impact the game. So I have time for that.
So yeah, a lot of theory crafting.
And
me just being excited that they looked at the older out of print factions and brought some back in as a reinforcements.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. It's a really neat way of sort of bringing back some of the older stuff, but not having to completely relaunch them and put, you know, masses of energy in. I think it's a nice compromise.
Yeah, for sure. Like just having this reinforcement box of an old faction is just it'll be hard for me to pass up.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's a big undertaking for every faction. You get this new box with seven models in it, and then there's this another side release. So you get a big collection from the get-go. It's like starter box size.
Yeah, and I know. Some people are complaining about the fact that, you know, CB have just put out these new boxes and they've launched the reinforcement rules, and it kind of feels as though a bit of a cash grab. But I don't really agree with that take, because they're a miniatures company and they're trying to sell you miniatures. So, yeah. Like, they've created a new game mode for you to play and they've created some new miniatures. And, you know, what do you expect them to do? Just sort of sit there and never release new things? Like this is how they make their money, and that seems entirely reasonable to me, at least as far as I'm concerned. I know people don't like the big boxes, but you know, there is a lot of product bloat there was in the past, wasn't there, with each troop being in an individual blister, so I can't really blame them too much for that. I know it's unfortunate. I know that I'm probably going to end up buying boxes and splitting them, but you know, that's okay, it happens. And overall, I kind of sympathize with CB on this. Like, they're trying to sell us a game and some models, and they're selling us a game and some models, so that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, for me as well. If they wouldn't do it in this form, they would do it in a starter pack or relaunch one of the older things. So there's always a big launch of something.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing to remember, Ray, is that, like, if they... Starter boxes and things like that are lovely, but you know, they tend to be geared more towards newer players, whereas this new game mode, Reinforcements, is kind of geared towards everyone, right? We can all take part in this. Whether you're new or experienced, you're going to be interested in this. You're going to be attracted to this, at least for a little while. So it just kind of makes sense to me. Like, it's stirred up some hype. It's got people excited. And, you know, regardless of how it turns out, whether it's good or bad in the end, doesn't matter. We've got something new to talk about, and that's fun.
Yeah, it's a new mod on your existing army. Like, yeah, if you get in your vicinity a reinforcement tournament coming up, you got this new box to go over. Like, I already heard, mostly I heard that's probably one of the more of the downsides, is that the new players in my group are like, I'm just getting the grasp of this thing, and then there's this reinforcement thing. But I looked at the rules, and I think it's not that complicated.
Well, I mean, the rules are on 2 pages.
Yeah.
Like,
and if reinforcements becomes a permanent part of the game, it will make it easier for new players, in that if they want to start a new faction, they just have to get one box and they have a third of all the armies all ready to go, right?
Yeah.
So I think it'll make it easier for new players and let people know what they actually need. Because that's one of the most difficult parts of being a new player, is that you have no idea what models you actually need. Right.
That's true. And the way this is being sold, or from what I've seen, it should be sold in quite simple, easy to digest boxes. So I think that's okay. You know, from now on, if reinforcements does become standard, people will just say, well, you want, you know, this starter box for the faction, and then you want the reinforcements box, and that's about it. That's your 250 and your 100.
Yeah. Pretty solid. Like,
Yeah,
and in the good old days, we all had to get all these SKUs.
I remember when I started playing Infinity, everyone would say, well, you know, it's the starter box and then this individual blister and that individual blister and that individual blister. And it's like, okay, you know, my store has one of those, but not the other two. Now I've got to get one off the internet. Now I've got to go to the other store. And it's like, well, you know, I feel the pain of having to buy boxes where you don't want every model, but it's also a little bit better than having to hunt down, like, you know, 10 individual blisters.
To get your army.
It also makes it easier for the stores and what they need to stock, right? So you could have some of the friendly local game shops that are like, okay, hey, I only want these start packages and the reinforcements in stock, and then let everyone else just order from their online
I mean, if we want Infinity to survive as a game, and I certainly do, we want people to sell Infinity. You know, that's how a company survives. And you know, that CB has to make some compromises to ensure that it's easier to sell the game is fine by me.
My local game store owner says he has an easier time now with those boxes and just knows, well, I have to get at least from the last 3 months, the box is up, because those are the most actual, factual, and people want them. And then a few of the Code 1 stuff, and he's pretty good to go. So, and when he had it before in stock, he had like all those, sometimes he bought like a blister 10 times, and then...
At our local game store, they have about 200 blisters, and about 10 of those are Octavia.
That's so unfortunate. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's just not great for stores to sit on, you know, 10 copies of Octavia that no one's going to buy.
So that's it's a win. I don't think it's a cash grab. I think it's a pledge for Corvus Belli to just, so now that we know that there are reinforcement boxes coming, and they have to design them and make them ready, and so we're just getting a big release after big release, but at a steady pace. So it's just good to know what they're just planning ahead for. So it's just...
And, you know, we would hope that if Reinforcements does well, if it is indeed a good game mode, then maybe it gets rolled into the main game. Maybe it gets developed. There's plenty of design space to explore, which we'll come on to in a minute. I don't know. I think it's a decent idea. Like, you want to iterate on the game, don't you? You want people to keep playing, to keep being interested. And how long has N4 been out now? I mean, 3 years? 2.5?
I don't know. Corona times make it...
Corona time wasn't real time, was it? But yeah. I think it's been about 3 years. You know, we're due something.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, on that front, I welcome it, a new way of playing, and I got my local group who was like, oh, we want to play these reinforcements on the tournament, so the next tournament that I organize will be a reinforcement one, and I think probably the next one will so as well, because people really want to play this mode, at least in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I've tested a little bit and I've listened to people and it seems flawed but popular, and I think that's okay, you know. That's the case for many games. Shall we move on to our sort of hot takes and how we feel about the game and things like that?
Yes, for sure.
I'm fine with that, yes.
Who wants to go first?
I would like to. I have not played the game yet, but it looks to me like a way of... I've seen it, and it gives me the feeling like that the Alpha Strike is lessened by it, because you spread out your models that are on the table. So yeah, you can Alpha Strike, but only with one group of 10, and that's it. Not like, yeah, you can some armies, if you think of Ariadna, you can either go bring in one group, bring Uxia in, do a lot of damage, and the other group bring the bear in, do a lot of damage. You don't have those, you know, like 15 or more orders to spend on your first go. You only have the 10 units you got with all the impetuous or tactical awareness that they have. So it lessened that, I think. And for sure, once you give your opponent a smack and you put him under 250 points, then all of a sudden he gets reinforcements halfway the table, which is also, I think, very important, because yeah, sometimes you have those games where you just get pushed into a corner by your opponent and you just have you're left with a few orders and your Alpha Strike to bits, and yeah, you have not enough orders to actually go into the middle and do your objectives and try to pull victory from defeat. And with these reinforcements, they drop in the middle, so they need less orders to get into the action. So I think it also gives you a chance to stay in the game longer.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, so my hot take is very similar. I agree with a lot of that. I think the overall sort of the idea behind it seems really solid. I think there are some underexplored areas, but as it is right now, it's done a couple of interesting things. I think one of the things to bear in mind is that from what I've seen most people post and say so far, list structures at the moment seem to be around 12 troops in your main list and 4 troops in your reinforcement pool. That seems quite common for a total of 16, so 12 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, if someone's gone from a full 15 to a 12, that makes the second combat group a little bit less effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means, you know, we are playing with fewer points as well, so you might include a primary gun, maybe a secondary gun, but certainly not as much, and that means attacks need to be a bit more careful because people are just not running as much stuff, basically. I have heard some people say that it's easier to Alpha Strike because there's less stuff on the table, but you also need to bear in mind that, you know, in my 250 points, I haven't removed the most important and powerful ARO pieces and stuff. They're still in there. I've removed is the least impactful pieces, right?
Yeah.
So my 12 rather than the 15 has cut things like a flash pass bot and stuff like that. So I'm still taking very powerful defensive pieces. And the other thing that I've done is, you know, instead of taking maybe 2 guns and a backup gun, now actually I'm taking 1 or 2. So actually I have slightly fewer attackers. So yeah, I agree with you. I think attacking is a little bit less strong, or at least it needs to be a bit careful.
Yeah, and I also think that the AROing is more important. Like, there was this tendency to hide your stuff, because if you take away something from you lose three orders if you lose one model at the beginning, because he will not spend those orders on the convulsing turns. But now I see, you want ARO in because there's less of an alpha strike. So if you ARO, you can at least block that. You have more chance of blocking it because your opponent has less orders to spend. And if you lose your ARO units, it might end up that you go over this 250-point threshold. And then all of a sudden your reinforcements arrive. So you might want to lose a bit of stuff.
Yeah. So it's 100 points you need to lose to trigger reinforcements.
Yeah.
And I think if you're careful with your list building, you know, you can plan to take, let's say, for example, three units that are 34 points, right? So 3 times 34 is 102.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, you know, maybe one of them is an ARO piece and one of them is an attacker, or and the third one is something else. And you can say to yourself, well, if my opponent kills that ARO piece and my attacker, I'm going to trigger the reinforcements.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So you can be quite careful in the pieces that you leave up and the strategies that it opens. But it does create some really nice sort of win-win situations for defenders, where it's like, well, if I don't kill their ARO piece, then I can't do supplies. I can't play the mission, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But if I do kill their ARO piece, then, you know, if I push too far, of course they'll land their reinforcements behind me. And they'll get some free shots. So people are being a little bit careful about what they leave in the midboard. Because you can't just leave stuff in the midboard and expect it to survive when reinforcements come down. They'll just die.
Yeah, overextending is an issue.
Yeah, massively.
Because, they drop in like the... That was something I was very curious about, is how they drop in. And it's really deployment, so you don't get ARO reactions on the troops getting down. You
just absolutely.
Get surrounded by things like Apaches with their chain rifles and being ready. Yeah.
So I played a game against Lobo, and he had a bear in my deployment zone, and I just dropped an Azrael behind it, and it was like, okay, well, this is an order, and your bear is dead. funnily enough, I actually chose to go at it with something else in the end because of the smoke thing. But it became quite clear that overextended pieces get stranded and a bit stuck. I think... This is a hot take, but I think it's worth talking about and thinking about. This might be, potentially, finally, after all these years, the death of the Liberto. And perhaps the end, or the significant tapering off. There will be less, I think, guided missile. Let's do some maths on SWC together very quickly, right?
So, all right.
You've got
get out your calculators, kids.
I've been thinking about this, right? 350 points is 7 SWC, okay? 100 points is 2, so that goes into your reinforcements. That leaves you with 250, which is 5. Okay, so you start the game with 5 SWC. Half of that SWC immediately goes on comlink, okay? So 5 minus a half, you're on 4.5, okay? Yeah. You've got 4.5 SWC. Are you really going to put 1 SWC on a Liberto? Are you really going to put 1.5 SWC on a guided missile? You know, if I take a guided missile on a hacker, that's 2 out of my 4.5.
Yeah.
Think about your average Nomads list, right? 2 times Morans, that's 2 times a half is 1. Add another hacker or 2 hackers, so we're talking 1.5 or 2. Add a Salamandra, you're on 3.5 or 4. At that point, you cannot take guided. You don't have enough SWC to take guided. You certainly can't take a Liberto. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, and if you want to push in your guided, say you take it, then you 5 orders go towards bombardment. Is it worth it? Don't you want to put that in a gunfighter doing other stuff?
I'm not saying... You know, the Liberto is completely dead, we'll never see it again. I'm not saying guided is completely dead, we'll never see it again, but I am saying it's really interesting, because when you only have 4.5 SWC, are you really putting half of that, two points, into a hacker and guided?
I
believe that Yu Qing actually has guided in their reinforcement.
Yeah, they do.
So that could open up some new plays, and that just be okay, hey.
It's quite funny as well, because Yu Jing's access to guided before was tricky because they don't have too many pitches as far as I can remember. But now within their reinforcement group, I think they do indeed have a hacker and a guided missile. So they can set up some nice plays with that. So that's kind of cool. Mm. But yeah, overall, I think that's an interesting thing to think about, because I have to strip 1.5 SWC out of my list, and that's a lot.
Yeah, basically. That's probably the guided missile launcher as a whole out of it.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm worried about that's interesting is the potential power of second turn now and reinforcements that come down second. I'm not sure frontline is a very interesting mission if you get to just land 100 points in the middle of the field without AROs and just win. Like, that doesn't sound very fun. Do you remember the hidden deployment strategy in N3?
Yeah, just wait till the end to jump on a button and
And then just win immediately.
Yeah. I think I've been beaten there with acquisition. That. Just my opponent just waiting long enough to just reveal two ninjas, push buttons, send in the thing, win the whole, however the battle went.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, well, the last two turns didn't matter, really, did they? Because, you know, just you reveal your hidden deployment, you touch the thing, or you put 60 points in the zone and you win.
But if you have a reinforcements tournament, you can easily say, okay, let's choose which missions. You know, I think decapitation is not going to change too much with reinforcements.
Yeah. I think we need to also see the ITS packet. Like, you know, frontline might change. Yeah. If CB is smart and careful about this, I think they really need to rewrite some of the missions for reinforcements, because I can't see end of game zone control being very fun in this sort of format.
Yeah, ITS needs a big shakeup to accommodate reinforcements. Squadron control, probably also not that fun. Supremacy, those.
Yeah. I think having your reinforcements come on second is also really good, because if the opponent hasn't moved theirs out of the midfield, you just slaughter theirs.
Yeah.
So that's another thing just to sort of pay attention to and think about. Your reinforcements coming on first can be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Knowing is half the battle. So yeah. If you know where his reinforcements are, you can, strike on them.
In any of the games you've played, have you experienced anyone doing suppressive fire? Any of the reinforcement units coming in and going directly into suppressive fire mode?
Well, immediately.
Or like in preparation of the opponent coming in to limit the movement of your opponent. Because I think that could be, if you have a unit in suppressive fire directly at the midline, that seems like it could be pretty good.
I mean, I played some games against Lobo and I obviously got smashed because, you know, of course I did. But on one of the games, I brought in a Bertuk, you know, the BS-12 mimetism hacker's lung dude with a Panzerfaust. And I just sort of put it in front of his Zeta, knowing that it probably would take him maybe, I don't know, one, two, possibly more orders just to get around. And it did do that. It did waste his time. It did waste a few orders. I was happy with that. So I think the potential of using reinforcements just to waste the opponent's time, whether that be with a Panzerfaust or suppressive, is very viable. Yeah. Particularly because at this stage in the game, I'd killed a few other things. He had fewer orders. So it was a case where every single order was quite important. And so I just thought, you know, if I can make you waste two, that's actually a big deal. Obviously, he won because, you know, it's Lobo, but that's fine. That's how it goes. I have one last sort of hot take, which remains to be seen whether it's true or not, but I think it's quite interesting to think about. I think you want to play around reinforcements, right? You don't necessarily want to trigger it straight away. Most people most people don't Alpha Strike particularly well. You know, they maybe pick off sort of three models or two or three, something like that. It's not, you know, most people don't attack that well. I think there is some skill, therefore, in, if that is already the case, to just show some restraint, kill some orders, not trigger reinforcements, but leave your opponent with a bit of a limp first group because they just don't have that many orders. And that's obviously really horrible because that means you're leaving them, you know, with perhaps some of their big pieces, but no like flash pulse bots to power it with orders, and they're not getting their reinforcements, so there's no comeback for them. In some ways, it reminds me of Retreat, where people would sometimes leave you just above Retreat so that they could keep playing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. People are going to make sure that you're at 251.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's also add to that point. That means, therefore, that I think certain list structures start to look really bad. So, for example, if we imagine the old combined army list that maybe took an avatar and a bunch of cheap regular orders, or, for example, the anathematic and the Charontid and cheap regular orders, I think that list structure maybe is a bit worse in reinforcements, because what happens is, you know, I can take my Fidei or any attacker that I have, let's say an Asawir or whatever, I can kill two Tigers, two Ichadrons, two Imatrons, two R-Drones, Bit and Kiss, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If I kill all of those models, I've only killed 78 points.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even close to killing 100 points.
But you nibble off a lot of orders.
And I've stripped 7 orders.
Yeah.
Across 9 different slots. So I think 2 Tigers, that's 2 Irregulars. 2 Ichadrons is 2. 2 Imatrons is 2. 2 R-Drones is 2. That's 6. Bit and Kiss is the 7th. They're not even close to reinforcements. And they're left on what? Probably 2-3 orders?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, it comes close to my hot take, and that's less warband shenanigans.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to send in all the little stuff and not end up with your reinforcements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fill your list up with little stuff.
Yeah.
That can all be taken away.
If you fill your list up with little stuff, you just invite your opponent to neuter your list without actually triggering your reinforcements.
Yeah.
And it becomes very easy to play around that. It was always a popular strategy to kill the little stuff. Now, killing it is a win-win, because not only do you strip the orders, you stop reinforcements coming in. So I think that might be my other hot take, that the min-maxed one big thing and 9 little things list is maybe a lot worse now.
So to counter that, I was thinking that if you're playing Aleph and you have a Marut, which is almost 100, then you can just get super aggressive with that one. And if it dies and they kill one more, then you trigger reinforcements. Or if they go in and try and take out your orders, then they have to deal with the post-humans and a potential Daikini sniper with marksmanship.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's a different story if you get to attack with your one big thing. You know, if you push a Marut forwards and you do a bunch of damage, and if the opponent kills it, you immediately get your reinforcements or very close. How many points is the Marut? Like 95?
99 if it's the lieutenant.
99. I think that is valuable. But the problem is, if you go second, I just wonder if, because you've spammed Netrods and Lamids and whatever else, can the opponent just sort of avoid it? And the Marut is maybe a unique case because it has MSV, so it's not easy to just sort of smoke and walk around.
Putting a thing just in an ARO position and just see what his explosive ammunition will do to your opponent.
Yeah, like, but I found in my games that because people are playing with fewer slots, couple fewer troops, and losing an ARO piece can sometimes be beneficial. I mean, not actually beneficial, but it puts you closer to reinforcements. Like, I played against my friend's white banner list this morning. They just put a Shang-Chi heavy rocket launcher up, and they were like, well, you know, it's what, like about, how many points is it, 35? Yeah. I don't know, 40, something like that. And it had tactical awareness, so it's providing 2 orders. It took me a couple of orders to kill. In fact, I don't think I killed it in the end, which was a bit of a pain in the ass because it wasted my time. And if it did die, they were halfway or a bit less than halfway on the way to reinforcements. And it was a strong play. So I think that kind of sort of time-wasting approach is potentially better.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm thinking about Tank Hunters again, because they are lots of points and not easy to deal with. Yeah.
If you're playing limited insertion with like 9-10 orders, do you really want to discover shoot? Like that's not a great way to spend your time, is it? You don't want to be discovering camo and maybe in those circumstances this is great because people might actually play the mission.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. There are things to complain about. I think comlink is very poorly done. Like the fact that there's basically one or two options for every faction is a bit rubbish. I would have liked to have seen some more flexibility in the profiles, but lots of people have said that. Hopefully they do. But I can't say much else.
Yeah, I've seen some complaints about NA2 and just having to deal with brawlers, and nobody wants to deal with brawlers, but somehow you have to.
And war drivers.
War drivers.
There are a couple of factions in which the war driver is literally Ava 1, and they have to take it as their thing.
But I'm hopeful. I don't think Corvus Belli will leave NA2 as it is with this. They have to go over so many factions to give them all reinforcements. I think going over NA2 and giving them all unique reinforcements is like doing that twice over.
Yeah.
So my whole take is it's a placeholder. We will see more comlink units also. I think
I hope so.
They rolled it out. They gave every line infantry unit this, but it would be interesting to see it on other profiles.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm kind of disappointed because in the preview videos, like Carlos was saying, well, you know, Hafsa, they're supposed to be lieutenants, right? So we might see a Hafsa profile get comlink +2. And I think it was specifically called out, and now they release reinforcements and the Hafsa has stayed exactly the same. And it doesn't even have comlink. It's the Gulam, the basic line infantry that has comlink, which
right
is so
now,
sweet.
Right now, I think it's meager to put it on only some line infantry units, but it's also fair because everyone gets his one.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think maybe the Hafsa is already... I think it's also saying that it's already in the pipeline to...
Hopefully.
...give more comlinks and have like, well, we talked about the Hafsa, but we... didn't maybe think as much about Pan Oceania who gets it. So maybe they want to roll it out and give everyone a fair shake.
So here's here's an annoying one. For example, if you look at Ikari, Ikari Company have Ava 1 on the War Driver and they have a couple of different profiles they can take, but it's the only comlink. So if you take comlink, like that locks you into taking that one and only war driver, which is just like, it's so unfortunate. It just doesn't feel reasonable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But luckily this is something that if you're organized in a tournament, you can just say, okay, we don't want to play with comlink. And actually in the game that I'm getting my first game next week, and we decided to just play without the comlink. So we'll see how that goes, but it just seems like an unnecessary tax from my perspective.
Yeah, one interesting thing about it is that it does favor sectorials in a small way, in the sense that at least a sectorial can form a fire team with the comlink troop, whereas a vanilla faction can't really do anything with that troop. It just sort of sits there at the back and does nothing. So that's kind of slightly interesting, but I'm grasping.
It can give its order to the link. To the team, to the reinforcement team. So
sure, but like that's still not great. Like
vanilla, if it's not in a fire team, then it's a lot easier to just move over when the reinforcements come down. Since that's also one of the side rules of comlink, is that they get to move over to the reinforcements pool free. Yeah. So if they're not in a fire team, so if you're playing vanilla, that's easy. Just do it.
Yeah, but why would I not just take a fire team and then have to just like choose whether
if
I want?
If you're taking, for example, OSS and you have a core fire team with Dakinis, then you break the fire team. You break the purity of it. I don't necessarily know if that would be worth it.
No, but at least you get to make that choice. Whereas my cat's being really annoying. Obviously, in vanilla, I just have to take a 20-point Gulam, which I can't even hide as a lieutenant because it's open information, which is, I don't know. Like, I'd rather be playing assassins and put that Ghulam in a fire team, basically. And then if I had to break the fire team, meh, maybe. Maybe.
Ah, yeah, I can understand.
But anyway, that's hot takes. Like, I've kind of said everything that I've thought about so far. I think it's decent. I like it. It's changed the game. The game feels a bit less lethal in some ways. It's, you know, it's good. I'm having fun. controversially, maybe I'll get to this. I'm not enjoying playing Hackerslam, but we'll get to that in time, I think.
Your favorite faction.
Oh. Yeah, but we've got a lot of other factions to get through before I start my chosen one.
Yeah, so yeah, we can yeah, we will not go over every profile because there's a lot of them. But any things that stood out for you guys?
I didn't check all of the profiles, but when they were being previewed, I really liked the close combat karate bots for Aleph. I liked Apaches for Ariadna. And I also really liked that new heavy infantry for Yuching. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a Silhouette 5 with BS-14. Actually, we might have only seen that after the release, but I like that as well. I think the Doki Kaibi, the hacker as well, is cool. So I've seen a couple of profiles that I think are really cool.
I really like the Mars Spiders for the Nomads. Them just coming down with +1 burst heavy flamethrower, and they can be put in a fire team, so you have potentially burst 4 heavy flamethrowers coming down in the midfield. Oh. With 360 visor, yeah. Oh. And climbing plus. And terrain 0G, so I think you can do quite a lot with that. And yeah, they also have CC attack +1 burst, so these things are basically, yeah, just as good as the attack bots that Ollie mentioned earlier.
And I'm just so happy what they did with the French. Like, they were the original reinforcements, we just didn't know it yet. And just their return as a whole, and yeah, they like these Apaches, but also what they did to the Moblot to make him tactical aware. Ah, oh, man, I love it. And then there's this special Duroc and coming in. It's just awesome. And there's so many options with that, with how you can form it.
Yeah, and, you know, I was often saying to myself, like, I wonder how they're going to make Margot a little bit more attractive in that package. And, hey, if you give her mimetism and and make her cheaper, then, that makes Margot look a lot better. Not that Margot was bad before, but we all know that adding mimetism to a profile, like, instantly
makes things more interesting. Yeah, she's already on this BS-14, and now...
she's now like a BS-14 mimetism AP rifle or something. I'm like, that's pretty respectable.
One that also sticks out to me is the Arjuna for Aleph with the 2 Kirin bots. So you can, and it has now tactical awareness, so you can get that coming down in the midfield with basically 3 bodies and 2 orders for 40 points. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Do those bots have Emirats?
Emirats and Cybermines.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. Emirats are really nice.
And the Arjuna now also has specialist operatives, so you can take down any... you can go directly to any objectives that you need to do.
Yeah, and Tech Aware. Oh, that's very interesting. Just on its own, it's a team of 3 or 2 orders. Yikes. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I have the model, but it's always been... poo-pooed on in the normal lists, but now as a reinforcement, I can see it making a good, honest return, which is needed, because the model is awesome.
I played with Arjuna before, and I found them a little bit awkward, but with tactical awareness, I think that's a nice little bonus. Not sure. How did they also add specialist to every profile, or was that there before? Can't remember.
I think they added specialist operative to every profile. I don't believe it was there before.
Yeah, so you can run like the Spitfire and still be a specialist and still have tactical awareness and still take 2 bots. Yeah, it looks better. I'm not 100% sure I'm enamored, but I like it. I like it.
On the other side, though, you can also put it in a fire team. So take the cheapest option with just a Spitfire and put them in a fire team, or with the Shock FTO version for 30 points, and you still have two orders in your fire team options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be a good engine.
And I, because we're playing with fewer slots, you know, we've lost 3 or 4 troops in most lists. I have a massive respect for gunfighter specialists, you know, like the Asawira Doctor, anything else that's like, you know, a specialist and a gunfighter. I can't think of any. My mind's gone completely blank. Ironically, a lot of tags, because they are, of course, you know, some of the best gunfighters and specialists. I think they become better because you put that one thing in your list and you're like, well, I filled multiple roles.
Yeah, so it's more important to bring multiple role units now. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's hard because they tend to be a bit more expensive, don't they? Because you pay for lots of skills, but equally then you want slot efficiency. You know,
yeah.
I can't take 15 things anymore. I'm taking like 11 or 12, so, you know.
Things need to do more things, yeah.
So that makes the NCO and tactical awareness really, really good, having
absolutely.
The reinforcement.
Absolutely. You know, when I got wrecked by White Banner this morning, and like, they just spammed orders, and I had about, I mean, I was playing Hacker's Alarm, and the problem is I had about 9 regulars, and like, I couldn't match multiple duos, and like a duo, a Harris and a Core, and about 15 orders, I just couldn't play that game. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I think tactical awareness and NCO and fire teams are massive, like all of that order efficiency stuff.
Yeah, that makes me more enamored with it because, I would like Infinity to be more about multi-tool units, more ARO options, less Alpha Strike. I'm getting all my toys for Christmas.
Yeah, it kind of, I don't know, like maybe this is hyperbole, but it felt a little bit more like M3. The game's like a little bit slower. There's a lot more about sort of order efficiency, carefully spending orders. There was a charming return in all of the games I've seen, a charming return of sort of more mediocre AROs. And it, like, you know, we're what, a couple of days in, I'm sure things will solidify. Things will go to some sort of meta or whatever. But at the moment I've been quite, what's the right word? I don't know. Charmed. I think I've said it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I've never seen a Shang-Chi heavy rocket launcher on its own before. But, you know, my opponent was like, well, it has tactical awareness and it's going to spend you a couple of orders to shift and you only have 9 regulars. So there you go. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in love. Yeah. Going back to the good old days of AROing. Yeah. But what you say, like, it will take more time. That's one of the issues that I see. That,
yeah.
Especially in a tournament setting. I give my players like 2 hours to complete each round, and especially if you have some newer players or players who are really veteran, but they really need to crack their brains against each other's tactics, that they have a hard time to get to these 3 rounds.
Yeah.
So
I found that initial deployment is a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
But you can spend some time thinking about the perfect drop point for your reinforcements. That can take a bit of time, so it depends on the game though. The other thing I would say from a tournament perspective, I think the rules say that you use a 40 millimeter token or some equivalent scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend if you're running events that you urge people to standardize the scenery or to just use the token. Otherwise I think some people might take the piss, to be honest with you. So just tell everyone, you know, this is the silhouette size of the drop pod that we're using for reinforcements, or just use the token instead.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want someone turning up with like basically an infinitely high 40 millimeter piece of terrain.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That. Yeah, a bit of house ruling is maybe in order. Like, yeah.
There are a couple of other questions I have, but I'm not. I don't really want to do rules chat right now, but I do have a couple of questions about little things here and there. Yeah. Should we talk about Pano?
Yeah.
So what have you guys spotted in Pano? I've got a couple of things that I've got my eye on. What has there anything you've seen or?
For me, I really like the look of the Squalo MK2. It has tactical awareness, and it also has an NCO profile with the AP Spitfire. So it looks pretty decent, just from a cursory glance.
Yeah, I agree. AP Spitfire tags are good if you can clear the midfield. AP Spitfire tags are a lot better if you get to put them directly there. It's a BS-15 tag. It generates two orders. You know, it has an AP Spitfire. It looks great. I'm a big fan. And you can fire team it with the Blade, which is an engineer that also has tactical awareness. So that's two troops, four orders, an engineer and a tag. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, and I think the blocker has a fun biometric visor, X-visor sensor. Like, were you hiding stuff in your midfield? Well, I'm going to find it.
So there's if I think the blocker is a nice sort of midfield, like rooting out stuff kind of option. Yeah.
So starting in the midfield and blast the sensor, like in 2-3 movements, you can probably have found everything on the in the midfield.
Yeah. But what I really respect about the Pano options is that they cover a wide variety of what you might want. You've got the Squalo as a sort of vanilla option. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have many special rules. You've got the Aquila, as your MSV option, and you've got the Swiss as your mimetism option. So they've got a really nice top end of heavy infantry.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, and yeah, amazing gunfighters to begin with. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And with the tactical awareness orders, I think they're going to clean up.
Yeah, and I think they've done well. You know, I was talking to a couple of Pano players, and one of the things they were saying is that with Pano, you don't have smoke or many tricks and stuff like that. So sometimes you can occasionally get a bit stuck in your deployment sometimes because, you know, maybe you just have some bad rolls against an ARO piece or things don't go your way. Well, one of the nice things about reinforcements, of course, is that you get to bypass the deployment zone and go straight to the middle. So maybe this might give Pano a bit more flexibility to sort of take unexpected angles and things like that.
Yeah, it looks like a boost to them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. There's a Pathfinder with a multi-rifle. I think that's a new profile.
Yeah, because they're not getting... Yeah, this is the first that they get a multi-rifle.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite cheap. It's 17 points. It's obviously a Takemoto bot this season, so it's bringing tactical awareness, Pathfinder, BS-11, but with marksmanship, BS-14 on a multi-rifle. I think it's linkable.
Yeah.
So... that's a really nice. That's a nice little one
so
to take.
So it actually didn't, because I think the regular is also 17 points. So it just gets a multi rifle for free.
Maybe. Can't remember exactly.
Or
but,
not for any much points else. So maybe the 16.
Yeah. Please excuse my clicking. I'm actually going to have a look now. The original is 15 for a combi. So it goes up to 17 for
all
multi.
Right, yeah.
I think that's completely reasonable. Like.
Get some AP up there. Yeah.
Whether Takemoto stays, you know, the buffs for the little FO bots, I don't know. But hey, there you go. So, any other thoughts on Pano, or are we happy?
I'm pretty stoked.
No.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just put together something. So you could have bulleteers.
Yeah.
And two blade reinforce. Two blade ops. So you have four in total. That gives you six orders.
Yeah.
And the bulleteers have -6 mimetism.
Yeah.
With a spitfire. So you could drop them in and coordinate suppressive fire with them. And then just go in and with your duo of blade reinforcement and just try and go after anything with the AP or with the submachine gun.
I think the bulleteers are Aval 1, but...
you are correct. Yes. Sorry.
But I think bulleteer plus blade is quite nice. You could do
bulleteer
like
plus Pathfinder.
Yeah. You could do like a sort of, I think you have to take bolts in the fire team, but you could do like maybe bolt, blade, bulleteer. That's quite nice.
Yeah, you are correct, yeah.
But one of the other nice things is you get to drop a bolt. Bolts have chain of command, so perhaps, you know, if you're taking a vulnerable lieutenant like a Tag or Joan of Arc or something like that, you you get a nice little chain of command drop, which they FAQ'd to work. So that's cool. So, yeah, I like that. I mean, combat remote plus engineer in a fire team is just really good, isn't it? Because remote presence is a great rule.
Yeah, so Yujing?
Yujing.
And I'm just enamored with how good those Korean troops look. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. So Yujing, really interesting. We have to talk about the Dakaibi. It's the marksmanship dude that's a hacker, a killer hacker, that has upgrade spotlight. So it spotlights, it killer hacks, it has marksmanship on a Mark 12. It just gives Yujing, you know, an instant hacker right in the midfield. Let me check its full stats, but you know, initially I'm very impressed with it. It's quite scary.
Yeah. It also, yeah, I like the picture there as well. Increase that hacking game.
Yeah. BS11, but two wounds, remote presence as well, so it doesn't even
Paracc minus six as well. Yeah. I didn't notice that until now.
So not the easiest to CC. Really nice options. The Korean troops look great. You can drop a guided missile bot. So you can drop the Yao Kong Sonbei. That's the missile bot. Hmm. You can take the Dakaibi as the hacker. So you can drop guided missiles and a hacker. You can take a Jujak engineer. That will obviously repair the Dakaibi, which has structure, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird. Structure. Yeah, it's robot.
Yeah. And then I've also got here the Sulyong. What's the Sulyong? Sorry, I wrote some of these out longhand before. Oh, the Sulyong is an MSV NCO troop. So that's nice because I think you can sort of fire team it. You can take a 3 or 4 person fire team, get NCO, get pictures, get some templates. It's nice.
Yeah, especially if your Daofei is still alive with the two lieutenant orders.
Yeah, God, that's gross, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely gross. There's a smaller team you can take. I've seen someone talk about going for Bishi, the Haitai, which is the new heavy infantry, and the Huarang. Just three troops, but you get 5 orders because there's a Takaware and an NCO. 6 orders if you have Lieutenant Level 2. The Haitai is a BS-14 heavy rocket launcher, and obviously in a fire team, that's Burst 3, so that's really scary. It has guided. I don't know why it has guided, but it does. Bishi is a specialist, and you don't need to take a guided missile remote because the Haitai does it for you. And obviously with the plus 6 on BS-14, that's BS-20. So you can't miss.
The Haitai in a fire team would be burst 4. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, because it's burst plus 1 in 8. Yeah. It's burst 4 heavy rocket launcher.
That's gross. That's really gross.
BS-14 Burst 4 Heavy Rocket Launcher. I think I want it. I'm actually very tempted to start playing Yujing. I think they really, really come out well. They've got so many extra orders with NCO, tactical awareness.
And all being heavy infantry is great. With the two wounds, it's really hard to shift.
Yeah, like I really think Yujing are looking great here.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of throwing a brick on the table.
Yeah, it really is. Like, 35 points, right?
Yeah.
BS-14, burst 4 missile. Heavy rocket, 2 wounds.
A flaming brick.
It also has an assault pistol, which is burst 5 in the fire team. Like, you know, yeah, Yujing are looking great. I'm quite scared, to be honest.
For sure.
Do you want to go on to your favorite faction, Ray?
Yeah, Ariadna, yeah. I'm just... Sweet, just the return of so many French units.
Yeah, tell me about French.
Well, I think there's some good core and Harish units to make. Like if you put in the Moblot with the tactical awareness, you fill it up Apaches. You can make like a loop guru team with just one loop guru and then fill it with low blows and with Apaches and just have a viral rifle, Maybe a good heavy machine gun or AP Spitfire Moblo that looks really nice with the +1 damage. And the tech aware. And these Apaches, man. They're with their +1 burst attacks, chain rifles or light shotguns or the grenade ones. They're cheap and they have some CC on their back. So yeah, don't wanna close in with them. And no wound decapitation. That gives them some staying power. The first teams that can cover every range band.
One of the things that people underestimate, and I think you've touched on this, is that like in a lot of missions, let's say armory, for example, you know, it really revolves around being able to move forwards and cover ground. And trying to take on a 16.2 wound dude that dodges on 13s is really difficult. You're playing armory, you get some of those in or nearby or whatever, and it's just going to be a pain in the ass. And you hand the turnover to them, and suddenly you're faced with these natural born warrior CC 22, you know, +1 burst.
these are guys that you don't have to spend an order on, just place them well, and they're a pain in the neck. They can just go and chain rifle things and go into close combat when dodging. I'm enamored by them.
Sorry,
Like the regular warband. They don't have the smoke grenades or the so that's not what you get from them. But yeah, they're going halfway the table. I can go without smoke grenades by then.
This is an interesting point. Sorry, there are no smoke grenades or other things that I've seen in any reinforcements. But of course, if you take a killer hacker, you can mark her up with the program. So that's relevant for a lot of reinforcement teams.
I think Toha also has something that they can. Isn't it Mirrorball?
Oh yeah, they might get Eclipse in theirs anyway, because I know Eclipse is a trademark of Toha anyway, so they might do.
I think one of the cool things about Ariane is that they have the +2 for their comlink, so they're able to go back up to 17 models.
Yeah, functionally 16, I suppose, once you've taken the comlink. It's a big deal for those kind of factions. You guys are right about the Moblo with the AP Spitfire +1 damage. Put it in a little team, so it's burst 5. You can take it with a 112 Doctor, I think. So obviously you've got burst 2 medikit if you want to go for that, or you can just doctor them. They won't have cubes though, will they? Because I don't think anything really has cubes in the faction. But it's a nice little thing. Apache's great. Moblo teams look great. And then of course we can't move on until we've spoken about the big two. Mirage 5, Margot and Jurok.
Yeah, for 58 points.
Yep.
Oh.
58 points right into the midfield. We've got a BS-14 AP rifle with mimetism and tactical awareness. And Jurok, of course, is impetuous, regular, 2 wounds, grenades. One of the only, or the only, impetuous reinforcement that I've seen. There might be a couple of others, but
that's the only one I've seen.
Yeah. there are a couple, but not too many, and it's a big deal because you want the orders, don't you?
Like, it's not the regular Duroc which you can place into your deployment zone of your opponent, but man, with this impetuous, he will be in that deployment zone soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that he's impetuous 6-4. You drop him in the midboard.
Yeah,
you walk straight into close combat with something. And that's it. They're done. That's Jurok. He's got his points back basically because he's 20-23 of the team. Of course, you've still got that Fizz 16 dodge, Fizz 19 grenades if you hit the +3 range, which is I don't even want to look at it anymore. I'm disgusted.
One thing I'm also tempted to take is the Wolfgang Amadeus Wolf. With that +1 burst multi-rifle, put him in a fire team and let him do the climbing plus and then go up with +5 burst
Yeah, because mostly the issue of him taking aim is that you have to walk over to get into his good range band. But now he's just there, multi-rifling everything to bits.
Yeah, beautiful choice. Like burst 5, multi-rifle, climbing plus, martial arts, 2 wounds, so you can lose a face-to-face and keep going.
So, also, just out of curiosity, the anti-material mode of the multi-rifle, that's standard burst 1. So if you were to fire that, that would be 3 bursts, right?
Yeah, in a team, plus one burst. Okay. Yeah, and then
yeah. I don't think it sets it like permanently to 1.
No,
unlike neurokinetics, like other stuff. Yeah,
no,
so
no, it will turn into 3 shots. So even then, you can shoot 3 shots DA.
Yeah,
3 shots double action as well. I mean, that's the kind of thing that Nauf is playing with, and as we all know, 3 shots double action is very
nothing to very, sniff at. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm spoiled for choice because I think only the war driver is the weak link in this group. But even then, I don't have many hackers, so dropping a hacker in.
I think
surprise takeover from your tag.
And as we were saying, there's a lot of value here to just sort of dropping a lot of wounds and a lot of sort of time wasting ARO type irritating pieces. And Mirage 5 do that. Wolfgang does that, and Apaches do that. So, they're very well suited to this sort of mid-board speed bump kind of play style.
For sure. Yeah, I'm happy with what's getting. There's a lot to choose and a lot of combinations to make. Probably going to try them all because I have all the models still, the old ones. So Ariadne is in a good spot.
Yeah, I think they are. Shall we do my faction?
Haki Islam.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have much to say about that.
Well, I've been playing... Obviously, I played all of my games as Hack Islam first because I always go back to Hack when a new game mode comes out because I know them best.
Once you go Hack, you always go back.
Yeah, absolutely. cool. So, I've really struggled with Hack. I think the faction wants you to take irregulars, things like the Hunzikurt, Ghazi, Dailami, etc., etc. In a world where you have fewer troop slots, it's hard to justify those kind of troops. I keep going into games where I have between 8 and 10 regular orders, usually 8 or 9, and it's really rough. Like if you go first, you have 9 regulars, the opponent strips you of 2, you're down to 7. It's really difficult to make that work. I've just found it really hard to make Hack work with the old list structure, and I think you've really got to be quite mean about the irregulars that you include now, because I want 10 regulars. I don't want a group that can barely do anything. But that's enough of that. Let's talk about the reinforcements. I'm going to talk from, a long-term Hack perspective. I played them for a long time. I was initially a bit disappointed. The Corsan is very funny, but single wound template troops don't last very long, as we all know. Odalisks
deliver the template and...
Yeah, they deliver and die. And the problem is that dodging templates isn't that hard. It's an unopposed fizz roll, so it does happen. If someone's dropping down, a Fizz 13 heavy infantry and you're going at them with chain rifles, you're unlikely to get that far. So wasn't super, super in love with that. Odalisks are okay. They're BS-12 gunfighters, but they're not super special. So I saw the list and I was like, this is a lot of stuff I wouldn't normally take. But there are a couple of very nice picks. The Bertuk is the BS-12 mimetism engineer. Really nice. That's a good troop. You can fire team it with the Rafik, which is the combat remote with the Red Fury. So that's nice because you get a little, as we've said, you get a combat remote and an engineer together, which is always strong.
Yeah.
And of course we have the Azrael, which is that horrible, horrible BS-13 gunfighter with like continuous damage and +1 damage and stuff. So that it's quite nice, in the end, if you pick specific profiles,
Who got in his reinforcement loadout a loadout to go in close? Because mostly the original is like Feuerbach and
AP HMG,
and this one is AP Spitfire and heavy shotgun +1 burst.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
everything
that
is continuous damage.
Yeah. I mean, a heavy shotgun plus one burst with plus one damage is damage 16 AP. And, like, it's just very funny.
I'm here to kill your tag up close.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, Pan Oceana drops its Squalo and Hackerslam goes, well, that's cute. Anyway, so there are some really nice options here. Typical kind of things you might see, all of the fire teams have to be structured around a Sekban. So we'll have a Sekban, maybe with a heavy rocket launcher or just a specialist or something. Then you might see the Rafik, which is the combat remote, and the Bertuk. Sekban have NCO, Rafik has tactical awareness. So that three-man team gives you five orders, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then alongside that, you might take an Azrael if you can afford it. Another structure I've seen is two Azrael and Ruhani, the doctor. That's a very funny one. Doesn't really have many orders, but it's just quite entertaining. I think it does... It kind of feels similar in structure to sort of some of the Pano stuff and the Nomad stuff. Like, you get a gunfighter, you get a combat remote, you get an engineer, and that's what it does, if that makes sense.
Less survivability issue if you compare it to Yujing and Ariadna.
Yeah, I mean, you're not dropping a BS-14 heavy infantry. Well, I mean, you are dropping a BS-13 heavy infantry, but yeah. I don't have too many complaints about the highlights of the reinforcements. There are some that I'm not going to take. But in general, I'm finding Hackerslam very hard to play in this format. And I might switch to a sectorial like Rama, or I might just move on to Yujing because I really like the look of them at the moment. But so you're probably going to see some kind of fire team based around the Sekban, and you might see an Azrael. That seems to be quite common.
Understandable.
Just
so seeing Kwapukalki take its return, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And also got the second Harees again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kwapukalki gaining their second Harees back is nice. Like, and it's all about order efficiency, isn't it? So just taking two small teams is great.
Do you think what you're feeling about normal Hackerslam is echoed across all the other vanilla?
No, because a lot of normal vanilla factions aren't sort of incentivized to take mid-point irregular troops. Like, just, you know, different factions have different list structures. Ariadna comes closest, but Ariadna tends to have lower point regular troops, like Chasseurs, Foxtrots, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Hackerslam wants to take things like Zuleika and Hunzikuts, and they're really, really good troops. They're some of your best in the faction, but they're just irregular. So you end up finding it quite tricky to
And with how Ariadna shifted with the bears and stuff, is that they and some heavier dudes like the Unknown Ranger being that good, is that Ariadna got some more expensive dudes and are less relied on irregulars to do their warband stuff.
So
they don't feel it as much anymore.
I just think it's just different now, basically. I'll give it a couple of goes, but I'm not feeling it, to be honest, at the moment. It's just going to require a big rethink from me.
Understandable.
And that's not a bad thing, you know.
Rethink your faction. It gets stale otherwise.
Nomads. Go for Nomads. Yeah. So Corvus Belli obviously had to give Nomads bolts, didn't they? They had to. I'm being a little bit hyperbolic, but you know, those rounders are great. NCO, marksmanship, MSV. It's a really, really nice profile.
Yeah. It's returning a bit to what the Securitatis were before they turned into the current. Like before, they were also this kind of unit, so they've returned a bit in their old form. That's the funny thing to see.
With the fewer orders, do you think impersonation or the use of biometric visor will see more use?
I've been theory crafting heavier impersonation to try and do some order stripping, but one of the problems with impersonation is it can sometimes be quite order intensive itself, because you're engaging stuff with rifles and shotguns, or close combat. I do think impersonation is stronger, but I also think against good against good opponents, it's hard to pull off, because, you know, people just know how to defend. last game I played, for example, like, my opponent put a core fire team on a building. They put a troop prone by the ladder. And obviously, because there was a troop there, my Fide could never climb the ladder. And that was it. Like, I just couldn't do it. So, yes, I think impersonation is better. But some people can make it not very effective if they're careful with how they position.
Have the 13-point Stempler Zon,
yeah.
Which yeah. is a 13-point repeater with climbing plus. And I think that's pretty nice. So if you're able to further increase your repeater network, I think that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I think all of the examples I've seen include two Stemplers, because with two Stemplers, that's 26 points. You get two regular orders, two tactical awareness orders. They're 6-4. They bring repeaters. Remote presence means they're reasonably tough. I think they're absolutely excellent. And of course, you can fire team them. So that's even better.
Yeah, and having access to Rahul Spector, who's like this good in combat, good in up close, boarding shotgun or drop bears.
Yeah.
It's always, it can always do damage.
Yeah, so I got sent one example by Lobo where he did Spectre, Stempler, Stempler. And then a Mars Spider and a Rounder. And he said, this is two fire teams. There's a Harris of Spectre and the Stemplers and a duo of the Mars Spider and the Rounder. This group has 8 orders in total, 1 NCO, 2 Tacaware, plus the 5. Spectre's an M6 gunfighter and a specialist. The two bots are specialists. There's great repeater coverage. The Rounder is marksmanship. The Mars Spider is an engineer.
We're here to score all the points.
Yeah, score all the points, have all the orders, shoot well, hack well. It's really, really efficient. But let's not forget that Nomads still have their old and classic weakness, which is that almost everything you're including has one wound.
Yeah.
Not literally everything. I think Spectre has 2. Although, if I remember correctly, I think Spectre is not shock immune. Yeah, I don't think he's shock immune, though.
Yeah, it's a scary proposition. Yeah.
You also have the lizard that has 3 structure.
You do have the lizard, which is really interesting. With hacker minus 3 and the fact that it's a BS-14 Spitfire is interesting. It's a shame it's not an AP Spitfire, but it is the toughest thing you could drop with armor 8 and hacking minus 3.
Go sit there. Put some suppressive fire on it. Deal with it.
Yeah. Cheap tags are looking good. Like 64 points for armor 8, 3 structure.
You got some room for some Stemplers. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And So it's just the Spitfire that lets it down slightly. But I don't know. I mean, it's a damage 15 Spitfire, isn't it? Because it's on a tag. So not awful. I think Nomads are doing all right. But the thing you've got to remember about Nomads is they look really, really, really good. And then you realize that almost everything in the faction has one wound, except the tags. And then you're like, well, you know, that's the faction. So,
yeah, in case of Yujing, they are the opposite of a brick.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never felt too salty playing against Nomads just because of the fact that, you know, if you attack them right, they can go down.
They drop, yeah.
Anyway, that's me done for Nomads. But are you noticing that there's this familiar structure, right, of sort of combat remotes, engineer, maybe a gunner, that kind of thing?
Yeah. And they seem to have tweaked it that there are these infiltrator units that normally have their marker state. They don't in this form, like the prowlers there, but they also cheapened them up.
Yeah, I think some of them lose like 6-7 points or something.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like
the Spectre is there, but it doesn't have the hidden deployment marker state. It just has its mimetism minus 6. But they also play 20-ish points for it, where you normally have to pay 30. So
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, actually. Yeah. BS-12, MIM-6, multi-marksman for 20 points, SWC, with plus one damage.
It's one wound, but it's a hell of a shot.
Yep, it is. That's the Nomad's way.
Yeah.
Right, combined army?
Yes. The return of the extra. I lived in a time where extra were a thing.
Yeah, that was a little bit before my time, actually. A little bit before me. Cool. So I am very confused about combined army names because they are annoying to me. M drones, Q drones, void operator, vector operator. I don't know. Just use normal names.
If you know the alphabet, you know your drones.
I don't know the alphabet. what are your first thoughts on combined?
I'm just happy that the extras are back and. With their old rule of they have a hard shell, so they cannot go unconscious, which probably will be, it's flavorful, but it probably will be annoying as heck for any combined player. Like, oh, these guys are really, really weak. Once you hit them, they're dead.
Yeah. Can I actually controversially say I think it's a buff, not enough, because, like, imagine playing countermeasures. Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to leave behind any bodies.
No. He wants some spasty for that. Not to...
Yeah. So that's kind of annoying. Like, you can't get that easy sort of spotlight an enemy trooper classified and stuff because they just die.
No.
But you can't send them unconscious. So
no extreme prejudice. No, yeah. No predator. I just stab an unconscious model.
Yeah. No easy predator. So I think it's actually not the worst thing in the world for them. Yeah.
So they have a lot of super jump in the new units that they have. And we should probably also go what the extra skill actually is, since I don't think we've thought about it. But the extra or we haven't said that. But as soon as you enter unconscious, you automatically die. Yeah. So yeah. That's what Hedgeheim was referring to earlier. But it looks like they're fragile and very mobile.
Yeah, yes. The 6-2 super jump, they get places. The issue with super jump was, climbing plus is better, but if you move 6, you're probably jumping up buildings with not much fuss.
It reminds me of the old Hack Islam super soldiers, the Khawarij, the sort of one wound super jump, quite good gunfighter type thing. Do you see what I mean? Like that general thing. So I've got sent a couple of examples here. I think people seem to be a bit excited about using Kodali. Kodali was hard to use before in a lot of ways because of the one wound. But if you drop them straight into the midboard, then that makes it easier. And of course, think about how great this is. You know, if you send something unconscious and then drop Kodali down, you can just eat it immediately. Yeah. Get a second wind. So that's actually kind of a big deal for her.
Jump on your snack.
Yeah. Just jump, instantly gain your second wound, and then that's it. You're Kodali, and you're having a great time.
Oh, yeah, she's also a wild card. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Put her in anything. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a BS-14. Oh, there's a rather loud car going past. Yeah. BS-14 MSV2 wild card with mimetism. 33 points for one single wound, but of course, with Protheon, you can eat stuff and get more wounds. So that's cool. They have a lot of combat remote reinforcements, things like the M drone, the Q drone, the T drone, some plasma rifles, rocket launchers, stuff like that. And we would be remiss to not talk about the Cascuda, I think.
Yeah. That's a cheap tag for 53 points.
Yeah, 53 points, huh?
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah, and Smart giving it a combi rifle.
with +2 damage.
+2 damage. Just making it a really short-ranged, super HMG.
yeah, like damage 15, combi rifle. It's AP as well, so it's actually, like, AP, damage 15, combi, really good on BS-14, burst 3. You know, would suck if it's in your deployment zone, but thankfully it's not. Yeah. So it's going to do some work.
And then it can shoot two chain rifles on strength 15 as well. So,
yeah, which is gross.
Yeah.
Now, the cheapest order in this set is 16, I think. So I think you can only take three troops if you take a Cascuda.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get one regular, you'll get three regulars plus the tactical awareness on the Cascuda. You could move the comlink as well for a four. So that's five activations.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, but when you're playing with the tag, it's probably enough.
Yeah, and probably if it's not on your third turn, but maybe on your first or second, you might spend the command token to put it in your 10-man group.
Yeah. I think
feed it orders that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if it comes down early, you could just put it into your main group and start just playing it as your tag. I am hesitant to include very expensive things in my reinforcements that won't get many orders, because if they come down on turn three, you're a little bit sad.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, and I think people will come up with some strategies that make it work.
Although if it comes on turn three on quadrant control, you probably win the game.
Like 53 points in a quadrant, I win. Yeah. But that's the whole thing about, you want your reinforcements to come second, right? Because then
you just
swing the game. Yeah, but that's combined from what I can see.
Yeah, even the Umbrella Gutters looks quite nice with this NCO. And
Yeah, it does. I think there's a kill
combi rifle.
No, there's a hacking device plus profile, so you can mark that one up.
Oh, yeah.
Because, hacking device plus has Cybermass, doesn't it? So you can run around with that and have fun.
You thought you killed the Speculo. Well, here's the second one coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Fun stuff. Yeah, extra returning. Yeah, it's just
good stuff.
Great.
Aleph or Aleph, however you pronounce it.
Big brother.
Let's talk about the day one, the big one, the 6/4 movement, total immune remotes that have dogged as well, and they have really good close combat. CC22, plus one burst, pistols or EMCC, and martial arts. Really interesting because they're fast, they're strong, perhaps a little bit vulnerable because there's no mimetism, they are hackable, but they've really impressed people because they're so cheap. They're 19 points.
Yeah.
And they do have remote presence, so they could fire you with an engineer.
They can indeed. And of course, the really nice thing about the remote presence plus dogged combo is you can take two wounds, go to unconscious two, and then activate dogged off the back of that. So that's really nice. If you get hit by, let's say, a sniper with double action, you still get your dogged instead of just dying immediately.
Yeah, this is immunity total.
Dogged, or would you try and heal them? Would you always go to dogged, or when would you use dogged on these guys, and when would you just go into unconscious?
So I've seen some people meme and literally just take five of them, and obviously you just go dogged then because you don't have an engineer, right? Where is the engineer? Sorry. Yes.
It's the Artalis unit.
Five is an option. Oh.
Yeah.
It's the Artalis unit.
So you could also take... Can you take four and an Artalis or something like that?
You should be able to, yes. And the Artalis has NCO, so you should get the extra if you're taking Lieutenant plus two.
Yeah, okay.
Going with five is just a robot zombie horde that...
Yeah.
It does not die.
I think if I was close by to an Artalis, I would probably just go unconscious because the engineer is whip 14 and the... I've lost them now. Where are they?
The Darwon.
Yeah, the Darwon have... remote presence, you get to re-roll the engineer roll. So I think I would probably do it in that case. But obviously, if I didn't have an engineer, I would just go dog it and keep pushing. I think a lot of Aleph players are very excited about that. We spoke about the Arjuna, didn't we, and its bots, how cool they are.
Yeah.
What do we think about Maximus, the man?
No. Yeah, no. Sorry for interrupting, but yeah.
No.
He's 71 or 76 points,
yeah.
Depending on his profile.
Yes.
And all he has is tactical awareness. So it's super expensive orders for a multi-marksman plus one burst, which, while cool, he's just at that awkward point where you can only have one other unit with him. It's not possible to have a couple of extra orders. Like if the Daleth were cheaper and you could take two of them, then maybe. But I think he was starting out order stripped.
Yeah, I think you can might pull him off in a Steel Phalanx list. If you go like the full all heroes meme list and just keep a spot open for him, and once you reinforce, you save one command token just to put Maximus in with the rest of the team, so he has at least got orders to spend.
There's always that strategy of just having the one and moving it over, but it sort of begs the question, you need to lose 100 points to get him in the first place, so what are you moving him over to? Like, are you moving him over to a completely tattered combat group?
Now, if it's your Steel Phalanx meme list with all the heroes, then you might have that maybe lost Hector has died, and or Achilles, and then all of a sudden Maximus is here to take his place.
Yeah, that's true. But of course, you can only transfer them the turn after. Hmm. So, because that when the turn they come on, you can't transfer. And that's
then it's just a big soaky dude, just soaking in the hits.
So, if you took it OSS and you took an Asura with the plus one lieutenant order, and you took in the Dakini and you broke your Dakini fire team, or it got broken, then you could technically have six orders on him.
Okay.
Then that might be okay. Like if you took him with an Artalis as well, then you could have a duo of Maximus with the Artalis following up the heels, ready to engineer him if need be.
So you'd get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's the sixth?
Two lieutenant orders from the Asura.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So maybe if you had lieutenant plus one, that would give you more flexibility. But then, of course, you're activating the Artalis, not Maximus. You kind of have to wait for him to shoot, then spend the order on him, and then go back to the Artalis to move around. I really like that kind of interesting sequencing.
I don't understand. If they're in a duo.
Yeah. So the NCO doesn't it make the Artalis the link leader?
No, it makes the NCO makes them regular orders.
Oh, I thought it meant that you had to activate.
Oh, you know what? Never mind. Forget me. The Artalis can't go in a duo with the Maximus.
Oh, okay,
it's only the Daleth.
Even do it. Yeah.
Sorry for that.
They have to be the team leader to use the lieutenant order as well. So you'd have to, if it was possible, what you would do is you'd use the lieutenant orders to move them and then use the regulars to do the shooting, which would work, but you can't do it. So there you go.
Yeah.
So no to Maximus, too expensive. And it's basically an AP Spitfire, isn't it?
This guy wants Netrods in the reinforcement team, but they aren't there.
Why are there not Netrods in reinforcements?
It would be very cool if they were.
We would know. Yeah. So day one looked great. And the Artalis is interesting to repair them up. And I think that's Aleph.
Yo.
I think we should also talk about the Dasius. They now have submachine guns as well. So Mimetism 6, minus 6 with NCO and no wound in cap. Coming in at the midfield. So you could bring in a sniper rifle if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You could also just go in with a hacking device, and some machine gun and just go hunting the big pieces.
Yeah, 28 points really isn't bad for that, actually.
Like FO to 25.
no, FO25, Hacker 28. You've got no wind incapacitation. You've got NCO. You've got MIM6, Whip 14.
It's and not stealth. Awful.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to go for the big boys, you could easily sneak in behind.
Yeah. Yeah. The lack of immunity to shock is a little bit sad, but it's okay. I mean, you know.
Zella for you.
Yeah, you can make it work.
One other thing that we were talking about is earlier you were talking about how AROs are going to be more important.
I think so.
So if you, for example, if you get locked down by an MSV ARO piece,
yeah,
then your reinforcements get called in. So if your reinforcements get called in, then the Satra with Albedo and MSV2 mm-hmm. might actually be a good call to have in your reinforcements, yeah. just as kind of a get out of jail free card. Yeah. Because then you could go in and try and do some, even some splits, because they have a hacking device or a killer hacking device.
Yeah.
So you could be able to do some magic with that.
Some nice like forks where they don't know whether to reset or dodge or whatever. And of course you have not only a hacking device, but you also have a template. So that really is nasty because you can split between normal shots, template and hacking. That's nice. Yeah. I think Albedo is really interesting and kind of cute and not very good until it's suddenly extremely good. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those skills where
you're suddenly like, your fire lane yeah. is worth nothing.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
suddenly like, actually, this is really good. Yeah, it's a really, really interesting skill, Albedo. So I like that idea. They're also not too expensive. So, yeah.
Toha.
No, you've skipped the real faction.
Oh. And
you skipped O12.
O12. All right, O12.
I don't want to talk about Toha. No, I'm joking.
Let's go into O12, yeah.
I don't know too much about O12, but I know they got given the Vidoc or Vidoc, which is an MSV mimetism gunfighter. So it's just, you know, one of those really solid, cheapish, single wound, but quite well-tooled gunfighters.
Yeah.
You know the kind of thing.
It's actually nice that they put the Sarco in, because that means that if you play... Because it was only up for Starmada, but now as an O12 player, you can put it in your reinforcements.
You absolutely can. A nice little
droid.
Yep. So they've done a nice job of that. Still a bit confused about Nightshades. The sculpt they showed had a sniper. No Nightshade profile has a sniper. So I'm not sure whether they're doing a different sculpt or whether a sniper is coming.
Well, they said when they showed the sculpts that they were still work in progress.
Yeah, well, they better be.
Because we ain't seeing any snipers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or there might be a regular Nightshade in your army with the sniper, and then there are the reinforcement perhaps. Nightshades.
Perhaps. I don't really know, but we'll see. They can form fire teams around the Jackboot, which is that new sort of single wound total immune.
Model looks nice. Ooh.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So there's that. And then obviously you can wildcard in other things and, you know, usual sort of stuff. You've got Davers, which are okay, particularly in the midboard. They're all right.
Yeah, just bringing Cuervo and Casanova up the field is pretty nice because they're close combat aces.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you about the meme. Let me tell you about the complete meme we have here.
Throw in the meme.
Which is the Oko, which is their sort of sensor bot thing. Repeater, forward observer, sensor, that classic thing. Oh, this one doesn't have sensor. Why does it not have sensor? Weird. Okay, well, you know, the forward observer bot. In reinforcements, it gets adhesive launcher +1 burst, and you can fire team it, so that's a burst 3 adhesive launcher. When are you going to use this? I don't know. Is it amazing? Yes, it
have
absolutely
to get sticky.
Yeah. It's quite funny having a burst 3 adhesive launcher. Do you remember when people used to use that in Hunting Party? Do you remember that mission?
Yeah. Oh, that's one I want to have returned.
Yeah, the non-lethal mission. That's
trying to capture lieutenants and specialists. You had to adhese them or stun them by the end of the game to score points. Yeah. And some units got them extra, so like... So you had the Kaplan, who also already had an adhesive, who got one extra. And in those days, if you got the second gun, you get the plus one burst.
Yeah. One thing that Lobo did against me that was quite interesting is he dropped a reinforcement Dakini with a sniper, just like stood it up, had it waste some time. We were nearing the end of the game, so it didn't do that much. But it was an interesting idea, dropping an arrow. It was just, yeah, we've only played a couple of games. I'm not sure it was amazing, but it was, it kind of locked me down a little bit and made me spend orders. So that was cool.
Yeah, if you can put them in a good position.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's fun stuff to make.
How do you feel about the a bronze Harris? Like, to me, that looks pretty good. Just dropping down a beast with two wounds, total immunity, and possibly a heavy machine gun. So dropping them in the somewhat back and just anything would be in range.
So ordinarily, I don't like the bronze, but in reinforcements, I think I could definitely.
I really like the Red Fury plus one damage. Why is it not a Spitfire with shock?
I don't know, but a Red Fury has slightly better range bands.
Slightly better.
But yeah, like Red Fury plus one damage, plus one burst. In a fire team, burst five, you're total immune. You have two wounds. I think that's a pain in the ass. That's the kind of really annoying ARO piece that we were talking about that you might sort of want to drop and just lock things down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you're playing supplies, you grab the boxes early, and you count on dropping a bronze and just having your opponent take, like, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 orders to answer it. So that could be quite interesting. And of course, we all know that burst two AROs are just so much better than burst one AROs. So
for sure.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Cool. So, yeah, I think that's O12.
Yeah.
Again, you know, as I've said before, there is a general pattern. What a lot of people are talking about is gunfighter, remote plus some kind of specialist. And this is a theme that runs through basically all of them. So, onto Toha. Listen, I don't know anything about Toha, but I'm going to steal, Rob Shepherd's idea. Which is a double resale with two Shaxas, so one Shaxa each, and then two Egals, and that's 10 wounds in a single reinforcement, which is extremely Toha. Like, that's just Toha. Just spamming a ridiculous number of wounds. So the resale boarding team has two on it, and the Shaxa peripheral has one, so that's three per for six. And then
saturate your zone with flaming madness.
Yeah. And then does the ego have two? Where is the 10 coming from? I'm probably misunderstanding something, but Resales have three wounds because they've got two on the top profile and then they lose the two and they have an inactive profile. Yes, they've got three wounds.
It's just putting tough symbiote armor troops into the deployment and having to deal with all those heavy flamethrowers and nasty stuff. But the 100%. Real strength is just bringing all the Chucks along long arms and just have at it. Chucks us for the win.
The Red Fury Chaxa actually doesn't look awful. You've got a Red Fury with plus one damage and AP. Basically an AP Spitfire.
Are you trying to make me take a long arm?
I think they actually are. They are. And they can go in teams in reinforcements. So I don't know much about Toha, but you know, I've had a look.
They're enough for specialists. They are resilient, so it's not the worst thing to throw at your opponent.
Do they have Eclipse in their reinforcement pool?
No, I didn't see any McCalls who have them.
Where is Eclipse on the weapons thing? No,
there's probably a mirror ball in there somewhere.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly have a look. I'm not 100% familiar with, like, all of Toha. They're quite uncommon. I probably shouldn't be flicking. It's not particularly interesting, is it?
No, no.
It doesn't matter.
Let's go to NA2. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, all NA2's got the same kind of reinforcements. haven't seen too much chatter about this. I think people are a little bit disappointed, but dropping diggers in the midfield actually isn't bad. And you can take an MSV2 multi-marksman brawler. So,
yeah, we'll see the same formula again and again with the NA2s, just two diggers. The Samsa operator looks nice with his...
With plasma
gun. Just a very nasty extra that wants to earn some cash by bringing in a very solid gun on BS-13. Absolutely. Mimetism -3.
It's not bad, actually. Nope. One of the annoying things about the NA2 reinforcements is that it's actually quite hard to spend the 100 points unless you take the Anaconda, but taking the Anaconda is a difficult sell. I mean, it's not awful, but it's not great. It's a structured 2 tag, you know.
Yeah. But that is two diggers and then something else. I think that's how the list looks.
Yeah. Even if I take, what's the most expensive thing that's not the tag?
Either Father Lucian or
28.
Yes, fours are at 28, and then if I take two diggers, I mean that's still only 56 points. I've still got 45 to go.
So you could take a bounty hunter core maybe. Where is Miranda Ashcroft? Is she not in that?
She's also
in she is.
She goes also can go at 28 with the e-emitter plus one burst. And tactical awareness. That's not bad. Mimetism six.
Yeah, what are your fire team options here? Okay, so you have to have a brawler if you want a core, but then you can put in like Monstruckers, diggers. Okay.
So fine. You could take two diggers and then still have a Harry for or Harris for the bounty hunter, Miranda Ashcroft, and Sforza if you wanted to.
Yes.
So the diggers would still get their impetuous orders. So that's eight orders right there.
Yeah, but it's like
that's 5 man.
A lot of slots, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 5. But it's also a lot of booty rolls.
That's true. That's true.
So actually, the reinforcement of NA2 will take a while because of all the booty rolls.
I'd love to have seen another sort of generic NA2 sort of heavy infantry. Just, you know, give them like a mid 30, 40 point, like generic sort of, I don't know.
An orc.
Yeah, like just give them something to spend points on that's like quite compelling and has 2 wounds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But They can do reinforcements, but you're going to be taking diggers and some kind of fire team or something like that, aren't you? And it's going to use slots. And the other problem, of course, is that if I just check. Yeah, so the War Driver Comlink doesn't give +1. So you're still playing with 15 troops, whereas everyone else is playing with 16, which is quite sad. I mean, not everyone is playing with +1. I don't think Combined Army get it, and I don't think Aleph get it, but it's weird that NA2 don't. I mean, think about Dashat. Dashat really liked their bigger lists, didn't they? Unless there's a different war driver in every one. No, there isn't. Dashat also just has Comlink with no bonus, so it's rough. It's a bit hard for them.
Yeah, NA2 definitely needs a bit more love, but like I said, if they would have think up a reinforcement for every NA2 force, they would have doubled their... Yeah, they had to double their efforts.
I'm sympathetic to that, but then on the other hand, just give them orcs, please. Yeah. Like, just let them play a nice heavy infantry, or at least, you know, at least mediocre sort of heavy infantry. Yeah. Well, yeah, like just something. I think we've done every faction.
Yes, we've done them all.
So, general themes, you know, we've been saying that you want tactical awareness now, you want NCO now, you want lots and lots of ways to spend and generate orders because you're playing with fewer troops. I mean, more troops in total, but a third of them aren't arriving until probably turn two. Yeah. So if you can protect your orders now, you're going to be in a better spot, I think, is one of the big takeaways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason to play riskier, to bring your team on earlier. There's a reason to bring AROs because you can maybe stop an Alpha Strike now because they have less orders to spend. And if you lose your own dudes, then, hey, your reinforcements coming in.
Yeah.
Reinforcements look very solid for the most factions.
Most of them, yeah. There are two kind of schools of thought emerging, which is that the first is, you know, still play the old aggressive game, and once your aggression stuff dies, it triggers reinforcements and you just go again. That's one school of thought. And the other school of thought is just play normal Infinity, null deploy, be a bit defensive, hope that your reinforcements come on second and just surround the enemy.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen the chatter around at the moment.
Yeah, and listeners, take this with a grain of salt. It's a hot take. Let's see how forms out. But I think it's a definite meta change.
It is. It's a massive meta change. But it's interesting because, you know, the chatter at the moment is play aggressively or play defensively. So everyone's contradicting themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fine. We're a couple of days in.
Yeah. And very interested how the new ITS pack looks with these new rules in place.
Yeah, like, please, for the love of God, like, please, Corvus Belli, like, understand that sort of old hidden deployment strategy of I reveal this troop and instantly win acquisition is not super fun. So let's have a think about that. Yeah. If you are playing a tournament with reinforcements, like, just be careful of playing stuff like acquisition, frontline, the kind of thing where the second player goes, oops, I win.
Yeah.
Can feel maybe can feel quite bad with reinforcements.
Christian, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I'm really looking forward to playing, though. I think it'll be quite a lot of fun. I've already gotten my list ready to go for the first game. It's going to be a decapitation game, and I think it'll be quite fun. I'll be playing OSS this season and just seeing how that goes.
Yeah, I got some patchers on my painting table, so the next up will be Cosmoflot in combination with some old, nice French dudes who finally get out of the box for now.
Cosmo is looking very, very strong with the reinforcements. The ability to have Wallace and a whole bunch of Ermandinos really helps out. The Impetuous orders, just Impetuous them up to the midfield and then apply smoke to your reinforcements if necessary. That looks great.
Yeah, I think factions that can prepare for reinforcements by sort of, you know, having them land and then getting some smoke down and stuff get even more flexibility out of it.
Yeah.
I think with Cosmo, for example, if you push up the field with if you take a Chernobog and the Unknown Ranger and both of them go down, you still have some options with the Bears and you still can have some other options. And then you bring in your reinforcements and they have plenty of smoke.
Yeah, going to have a blast with Cosmoflot, I believe.
Anyway, I think, you know, we've done 2 hours and I think we've covered everything for now. So are we happy to call it? Let's call the game.
Let's call it. Yeah. Let's enjoy reinforcements. I think they're we think it's awesome and there's a lot to discover.
Yeah, we're pretty positive about it so far. So go play some games, have some fun, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. See you all. Care, yeah. Do I do the catchphrase?
Do the catchphrase.
All right. Guys, thanks for coming on. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. And I will see you all next time.
See you.
Yeah, see you.